If you are a Christian and you've got a critical spirit of others, nothing is ever quite right with you. No person is ever quite, you know, up to par with you. And you don't think anything about complaining and talking down on a person to others. Watch your life. Watch your life over the years. And I suspect you'll be a barren Christian. There will be no fruitfulness in your life. And you go on in your Christian life, and really, it'll be a carnal, barren kind of existence.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 6 and 7.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
You have to ask, did my recklessness contribute to the problem at hand, to the mess that I'm in? And if David would just ask that, you know, he would realize he did. And it only took 3 months. David came to his senses 3 months later. Sometimes it takes us a little while to wake up to the fact it's not God's fault, it's our fault. And so he does. So David was, verse 9, so David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So, through David's disobedience, look at the blessing that came upon the house of Obed-Edom. I think that's pretty interesting. How that can happen. How God can bring blessing upon others, maybe even upon yourself, to the disobedience of someone. I could kind of write a script on that, things that I've seen come my way, our way, as a church. I think that's really, really a truth. And here, Obed-Edom, he was just basking in the blessings of God, at least for 3 months. Because of David's disobedience and David's anger and his fear of the Lord. Now, this was kind of a slavish fear. It wasn't maybe a fear of the Lord that brings wisdom, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's really having God's mind. And I think David did come to that. We come to that as we see him bringing the ark up. He's very cautious at this point. So whether it was just a fear, I can't bring the ark up because, wow, look at what God did. Kind of a slavish fear. And then eventually it became a real wise, godly kind of fear that brought wisdom. But notice it says in verse 12 as we go on, now it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. So, wow, things have changed. David, you know, he gets over his pouting, you know, if you can call it that. and his unjust anger against the Lord, it wasn't a righteous anger that he had. It was an unjust anger against the Lord. And then that justified fear. Well, you should fear God if you're going to treat God's things any way you want, common. If you go against God, you should fear that. Fear treating the Ark of the Covenant as common. But now, he does the ministry right. Now he's very cautious, probably overly cautious. You know, sometimes in the ministry I've found, and sometimes in our life as a Christian, I think there was a book back when I first got saved, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back. It's like we go on with the Lord and then all of a sudden we go back. But it's never back farther than you went forward. But we might feel it's that way, that we're going back more than we're going forward. But here David, yeah, he had to take a step back to go forward, and now he's going forward and he's very cautious. He doesn't want to make a mistake, and that's good. That's good, David. You're cautious. The Bible tells us as Christians to walk circumspectly. That's an interesting word, walking circumspectly. What it means as me as a Christian, I want to watch where I'm walking, who's around me, where I'm stepping, where I'm going. That I'm not so casual, that I'm not so whimsical, that I fall into a pit, fall into a ditch, trip over a stumbling block. Walk circumspectly. Know where you're going in the things of the Lord. And I think that's what David is doing. He's doing in the Old Testament what God tells us to do in the New Testament. He's very, very cautious at this point, and maybe overly cautious, overly so. And when he's making the sacrifices, he goes six steps and he makes those sacrifices. They're sacrifices of dedication. In other words, God, I'm all in for you. I'm totally dedicated to you. They're sacrifices of consecration. Lord, my life is given over to you. I want to do only what you want me to do, and I don't want to do what I want to do, what's convenient. And, you know, I just whimsically do. I don't want to do that. And atonement. Lord, cover all the mistakes I've made. Lord, just help me. Help me in this life. And notice he's doing it with joy. He's exuberant. He's dancing before the Lord. It says with all his might. I like that, Christian. Congregation, whatever you do, do with all your might. Don't be haphazard. Don't be halfway there. Do it totally. When we worship the Lord, worship the Lord. I lose my voice worshiping the Lord. I really do. Sometimes I can't reach the key, but man, when you sing, sing heartily unto the Lord. When you serve him, go overboard. Be the first here to serve. Be the last to leave. That's heartily unto the Lord. You see, whatever you do for the Lord, when you read the scripture, get into it. Mark your Bible up. Wear your Bible out where you have to go and buy a new Bible. I don't know how many Bibles I've gone through, but now you don't have to do what you did in the old days because of the internet. You know, there's so much in the internet. You know, you're going online and doing that. So it's taken a while to wear this one out. But you see, do it heartily unto the Lord. The Bible says that which you do for the Lord, do it with all your might. Do it with your heart. Do it with your life. Do it with your emotions. Be involved in the things of the Lord. I mean, you know, so important. You know, I do emphasize the bookstore a lot, and I emphasize some of the books. And when I mention a book, I'm just not mentioning it to sell books. I could care less I do care if you buy the book. You don't have to get it from the bookstore, even if we didn't have it in the bookstore. But buy it. Why? Because it'll inspire you. It'll bring you to a place where maybe you weren't before and have you walk, you know, in the Lord just unrestrained and like David. He's dancing with all his might. He's doing it with everything within him. Now, Super Bowl Sunday, right? Isn't it? Is it Super Bowl Sunday? Is anybody awake here? Are you not football fans? But it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? We actually used to, you know, show the Super Bowl here and just had, you know, have a time, kind of a fellowship thing. But mark my words, there will be dancing in the Super Bowl, especially in the end zone. Somebody makes a touchdown. They got all sorts of dances there. What I'm saying is, I'm not necessarily saying you come on out and do your little jig here and then go back to your seat, but I'm just saying David is into it to the point where his wife gets on his case. But you see, he's dancing to the Lord, everything within him. And he's got a linen ephod. What does that mean? It means he took off his robe, his royal robes. He took those off and he's now with the common people. You know, doing, I don't know, the mashed potatoes, the surfer stomp, whatever that might be, whatever you do. I used to do a lot of that in my shaping room, but when I was a young Christian. But anyway, it's you know, he's joining in with the people. But notice what happens here in verse 16. And it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and that's the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to the men and the women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one when all the people departed, each to his house. Gave a little love offering to the people. You know, date cakes and raisin cakes and stuff. That's nice. You love it when you get a gift. But that was just the rejoicing of David. But now when he comes home, boy, you talk about taking the wind out of your sails. Michal, she despised him for doing that, for his uninhibited worship of God. That is a hard thing. That's a hard thing for any man or for any woman. When you're reckless abandon to the Lord, when you're doing for the Lord what's coming from the heart, you're not doing it to show off. You're not doing it for others. It's unto the Lord. I don't know if he came in and she's thinking in her mind, he never showed that much excitement for me. Sometimes that happens in the home. Well, you're so overzealous for the Lord. Why aren't you overzealous for me? And sometimes there's that comparison. You see, being sold out for the Lord can create tension in the home. It happens. And there's always that temptation to compromise. Okay, my husband doesn't like how zealous I am, how much in church I am and reading the Bible all the time and having worship songs. Well, you have a choice. You can either go on with the Lord and hopefully win him to the Lord, or you can compromise and be what he wants you to be. You know, just kind of a lukewarm, nothing kind of Christian. It's the same with a man. A man zealous for the Lord, he's serving, you know, where are you tonight? Oh, I'm going to church. Well, how can you always go to church? You're never home. And all of the complaints because zealous for the Lord. Well, wait a minute. So you want that mate to compromise your zeal? You're being sold out for the Lord? Really? Really? You want them to be the governor on your spirituality? Is that really what you want? You think God's going to bless that? That happened in my life. Danita wasn't really thrilled with serving the Lord. And there was a point where it was either me and the Lord or not. And she really chose me and the Lord. But I've seen men, I've seen women compromise, and they let that that lukewarm or that non-Christian govern their Christian life. And all of a sudden you find them, they're just really lukewarm themselves. And God will never, ever bless that. Remember, the Lord said, if you love mother and father, husband, wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. He said, you must hate husband, wife, mother, daughter. And literally that hate is loveless. In other words, your love for the Lord almost appears like hatred toward them. Because that's what they're going to be saying. Why are you so zealous for God? You don't do that for me. You're always with other people ministering to them. Why don't you do that for me? Why don't you do that for the family? Well, I'm not saying that you should abandon, you know, the home. Not at all. You being a zealous Christian should make you a better husband, a better father. But you see, there's something about a person that's sold out for God. It does create tension in the home, especially for that one that is a lukewarm Christian, or maybe they're not a Christian at all. But I want to say this. I believe God will bless you. God will bless you if you follow Him with a whole heart. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in your home. You see, what I had to say to the Lord and say in my heart, I said, Lord, if you don't save my wife, I know you've got a future for me. Now, I'm not thinking a new wife. I'm not thinking of that at all. But if you don't save Danita, I know you have a future for me. Because I wasn't going to go back to the old life. And somehow that zeal and that desire pulled her, you know, along. And eventually, she's become one of the most spiritual women I know. You see, but it wasn't by my compromise. It was by my doing what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. And so here, what David does, I mean, here all the people, he's so benevolent to the people, giving them these little gifts, and then he's sacrificing that burnt offering. Again, that's the dedication. Lord, we're dedicating our lives. We're dedicating this city. We're dedicating my kingship and the people to you. Lord, we are yours. We're dedicated to you. And then that peace offering is the fellowship. And it's not just the dedication, but it's the fellowship, Lord, that you would dwell richly in our midst. Us with you, you with us, is what you find that peace offering is. And then verse 20, and when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. Wow. What a caustic comment. What a put down. You know, here you're so excited about the things of the Lord, full of the joy of the Lord. And you come home to one that you love, you think loves you, but that person has conditions. Yeah, I'll love you if you're not that zealous for the Lord. Conditions. Comes home to this critical, spiteful wife. That is hard to handle. But it really came back on her, came back on Michal. So David, verse 21, said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. A little bit of a dig. God chose me over your dad, over your dad. And you know your dad. You know what your dad did, so disobedient to the Lord, hunting me down, wanting to kill me. God chose me. And that's, I'm zealous for the Lord. And I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. In other words, David is saying, you think that I shamed you when you were in the house before the maids of the servants? You think I shamed you You know, in their sight, wait till you see my zeal before the Lord and what these maids will say about me. But it's not a shame, it's an honor. And I humbled myself, David is saying. That wasn't something I was trying to show off. It was a humbling thing to dance before the Lord and to come out of my kingly, my kingliness and do that kind of thing. Yeah, I know it looks like kind of foolish, but it wasn't foolish. It was zealous. I was zealous for the Lord. And what you thought was a low dignity, that was honoring, worshiping the Lord. And if you think they despise me, you're wrong. And I'm going to even humble myself even more. You're going to find that they honor me. Now, I think what happens, she didn't have a child. And apparently David, he didn't have relationships with her from that point on. So basically, you know, by doing what she did, David didn't sleep with Michal. And, you know, that was probably one of the worst things that a married woman, because childbearing was vital in those days to a woman. And for David not to sleep with her and not to have a child, that was, for her, that was really all the rest of her life. It was a shame to her at that point. You know, when you speak of spiritual things, I would say this. If you have a critical spirit, you're going to find there's going to be barrenness, spiritual barrenness in your life. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, physical things will happen. I'm talking in spiritual realm. What we see of her, Michal, not physically bearing children because David didn't sleep with her. What I'm saying is, if you are a Christian and you've got a critical spirit of others, nothing is ever quite right with you. No person is ever quite, you know, up to par with you. And you don't think anything about complaining and talking down on a person to others. Watch your life. Watch your life over the years. And I suspect you'll be a barren Christian. There will be no fruitfulness in your life. And you go on in your Christian life and really, it'll be a carnal, barren kind of existence.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 6 and 7. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 6 and 7. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.